Welcome to AM Best Audio.
39% of insurers say resistance to change reduces AI strategy alignment with revenue goals. That according to a survey commissioned by Rackspace Technology. Additionally, 63% say they are thinking about moving digital assets from public to private or on-premises cloud for better data security compliance and cost savings. I'm John Weber for AM Best TV, and I'm speaking today with Prince Varma, Global Vice President, BFSI, and Ben Blancara, Vice President, Technology and Sustainability at Rackspace Technology. And Ben, let's start with you. Why do you think that there is such a high resistance to adopting AI?
Well, I think we see really a couple of things. A lot of it is what we've seen is the biggest barriers are really organizational change. This is all about how the change for people. And that translates into what's going to happen to my job, what's going to happen when implement this to my work processes. And by the way, we all know that AI is a probabilistic kind of sort of mechanism. So do you trust it? You know, how do you make sure that you don't create more risk with potential hallucinations from AI? So those are some of the barriers that we see in operating units regarding the adoption. And then, by the way, there's a pretty significant regulatory undertone that is still emerging. So those are some things that we see as relative to some barriers of AI.
Prince, what are the primary barriers to succeeding with AI?
Well, so I think, John, we start with the five Ds, right? Data quality, data privacy, data mobility and interoperability, data security and vulnerability, and data sovereignty. When you think about it, right, there's a lot of inconsistency in data. There's a lot of fear and concern about how that data is being used, where it's being used. How do I move that around across my systems? And then ultimately, how exposed is it, right? So those are key barriers that institutions are facing when it comes to AI.
Ben, what do you see as the top AI trends or uses for AI in insurance?
Yeah, that's a great question. There's a couple of really interesting ones. There's a simple use case around knowledge management. Most insurers have a lot of information and data locked up in their systems, and access to that knowledge is tantamount. So a very simple use case is this notion of, can I ask a question regarding information that I already have in my ecosystem, and can that come out easily and simply? There's another use case regarding contact centers and call centers. You know, assisting your folks that are talking to customers. When someone is asking a question about something, can Gen AI help you answer that question? Then there are use cases associated with claims processing itself. You know, can you do straight through claims processing using Gen AI? Then there are use cases regarding fraud and risk detection that we see. But what we're seeing is AI is not new for insurers. It's just really around the implementation of Gen AI, which is a new sort of component. Prince, any comments on that?
Actually, I do. Thanks, Ben. So look, in addition to the things that you mentioned, right, as well as automated underwriting, I think there are three things that insurance organizations are looking at today. Predictive analytics, and that's mm-hmm. not about pricing or next best product. It's about predicting, forecasting lapses, coverage issues, gaps, high potential risk customers. So predictive analytics is becoming more and more prevalent. Robotic process automation, where you're really using AI to drive optimization of efficiencies around mundane tasks, right? The kind of basic, simple, rule-based stuff that institutions utilize, RPA tends to play a role. And then finally, cyber risk mitigation, right? Mm-hmm. Today, instead of just buying an AI tool, AI is interwoven, or autonomous tooling is interwoven into the tools so that you're utilizing it to harden, monitor, and remediate any kind of cyber vulnerability that you might have. But that's where we're seeing some of that happen.
Customize your data experience. BestLink now offers an interactive company dashboard that provides company-level intelligence in a fast, user-friendly interface featuring interactive tables, charts, and Sparkline performance histories. Customize the dashboard tiles to prioritize the insurer ratings, data, and analytics that best support your workflow. AM Best. Our insight, your advantage.
Prince, why do you think insurers are choosing to repatriate their workloads? In other words, move them from public providers to private platforms?
Yeah, so John, I think it falls across a couple of different things we've touched on. Optimizing performance and reducing the latency between systems is an important part of it. Accessing the data and having it closer and available and controlling and managing the data. And then lastly, integration with existing systems. So you've got a tremendous amount of technical architecture and infrastructure that's in place. And it's easier and often simplifies the degree of technical integration if it's sitting in a private cloud versus a public cloud.
Prince, I think those are really all good points. But I think, you know, in the rush to go to cloud, there became this implicit assumption that you're going to refactor your applications to actually take advantage of services and that would allow you to run in the cloud efficiently. The reality in a lot of cases, as folks moved to cloud, they didn't do that. And so what you end up doing was you just lifted and shifted existing applications to the cloud without actually optimizing. And so the net then is it just costs more. And then, by the way, at that point, you then also, from an availability sort of perspective and sort of like being close to your data, as you had said, in terms of moving data to the applications, all those things created complexity, reduced availability, and higher costs. So I think those are some things why big insurers go, why did I do that? Let's go back.
Yeah, the challenge of refactoring is probably the greatest one, Ben, right? It's the cost and ultimately the payoff on refactoring wasn't there. It's just too hard.
It's too hard.
Some of these things. They're just and so you know, so many institutions tried and failed. And at the end, billions of dollars were spent on trying to make these things work as efficiently as they did in a more controlled environment, and it just didn't happen. So
Ben, what do you see as the most important technologies for insurers in the near term?
Well, I think there's really three different things that we start looking at. This notion of database as a service. Insurers are all about data, both structured and unstructured. And the more you can effectively manage that data in all its forms and in connectivity, the more efficient you're going to be. So technologies that allow you to manage your data better, fundamentally. Then we talked about the second, which is this notion of hybrid cloud. We talked about some insurers are moving back to repatriation, but the reality is that when you think about legacy systems, but then also new systems and AI and all those kind of things, insurers are going to end up with hybrid cloud environments where you have some workloads on private, some workloads on public, and where the winning step is looking at it on a workload by workload basis and then going for there versus, hey, I'm just going to put everything on public cloud. Hey, I'm going to put everything on private. Because if you really want to optimize your cost base and your performance, hybrid cloud is where it's at. And then sort of the last piece is really integration platforms that really allow for system connectivity. As we know, insurers have lots of legacy, lots of new technology, try to integrate AI. And so you've got multiple systems and data that you're threading together. So those would be three of the types of technology platforms that insurers are looking at.
So I think we should consider some of the big bets in the near term. The obvious ones obviously are AI for driving operational efficiency, but you're starting to see big bets being placed around cybersecurity, big bets around blockchain for secure data sharing and fraud prevention, big bets around modeling and data encryption, leveraging quantum computing, right? I think when you look at where this is going, you've got the critical threshold now of utilizing it today, but recognizing that tomorrow and in the future, there's a tremendous amount of opportunity and upside.
Prince, barriers to AI can be grouped into four areas: technological, organizational, regulatory, and cultural. How would you stack rank these, and which has the greatest implication?
So, you know, that's a trick question, John, because ultimately all four are important. And I think when you look at the barriers that you have to entry, cultural and regulatory become the people side. And technology and organizational tend to be more of the technical element side, right? So ultimately, to me, you have barriers to entry that are driven by how an organization views AI, how it ultimately wants to leverage it, and then having the capabilities, tooling, budget, and talent and wherewithal to employ and deploy it. Is really how I would break those four things up.
Ben, Prince, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us tonight.
Thank you, John.
Thanks, John.
That was Prince Varma, Global Vice President, BFSI, and Ben Blancara, Vice President, Technology and Sustainability at Rackspace Technology. And I'm John Weber for AM Best TV.
Looking to get the full attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms that will do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day. Find out more by calling AM Best Advertising Sales at 908-439-2200, extension 5399, and have a great day.